Welcome to episode 511 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Donna and George. This week, we're heading back to Alaska with one of our favorite cruise lines, Holland America. But we're switching it up a little because one of our agents, Stacy, was recently able to experience their Yukon Land Tour, and she's here to tell us all about it. So welcome, Stacy.
Yay! Thank you.
And let's get started. So I'm so excited to hear about this because the Yukon is so unique and only Holland America does it, right?
I think so.
Yeah. All right. So it looks like you started off in Anchorage.
I did. So we started in Anchorage, and then by the time we got on the ship, we were in Skagway. So we spent 7 nights on land before we met up with the cruise that had started 3 days previously. So you do only 4 nights on the cruise, and you do 7 nights on land for this particular tour. So we did the we went to Denali and the Yukon.
I love that because if people have been there before and have done Alaska, there's still so much to see in Alaska. You know, I mean, it's huge. So
yeah, I agree.
I love that you can kind of switch it up and see something new the next time you go. So when you get to Alaska or to Anchorage, it looks like you said, did you go in early? Did you spend some time?
So I would say that would probably be my best advice for if you're starting your tour in Anchorage. It would be to fly in at least a day or two if you have an extra day to fly in early. Because if you fly in the day, you know, that the official tour starts, you may get in, you know, in the afternoon, evening, and then you leave out of Anchorage the very next morning. So you don't have any, you know, not a whole lot of time to explore Anchorage. So there's a lot to see in Anchorage. It's, you know, not a huge town, but you can definitely visit some of the museums like the Anchorage Museum or the Alaska Native Heritage Center. There's some excursions you can do from Anchorage. So I would recommend you know, at least try to spend a day there before.
Well, yes, because my flight came in at like 2 a.m. mm-hmm. when I flew up there, and mm-hmm. I just needed to go to bed and just take a day to acclimate.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of the flights do come in, like Donna's, come in like at 1, 2 a.m. So yeah, mm-hmm. it was definitely a good idea to come early. One of the things you, about Holland America line though, is you don't know which hotel. They use several hotels around the city for their tours. You may not know until pretty close to travel which hotel you're going to stay in. So it might be a little difficult booking a hotel ahead of time if you don't want to have to switch hotels to the tour hotel. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I just waited. And then once I found out which hotel, we actually stayed at the Sheraton. And I was able to make a reservation for the night before the tour. The hotel easily just linked those two reservations together. I didn't have to change rooms or anything like that.
Well, a lot of times also with Holland, you can add an extra day just through them. I've done that before. And you can just add an extra hotel night and they'll just, you know, add it onto your package.
You can, yes.
Yeah, and I find Anchorage to be a very walkable city, too. So there's good breweries there and the Ulu Factory. And I think there's some really cool stuff to do in Anchorage. So
there really is.
I agree.
I would say the Anchorage Visitor Center is a great place to start. It's in downtown. If you know don't really have a plan, they can help you pick out a lot of interesting things to see and do.
Yes, and fun fact, if you go there, they will give you free postcards to mail home to people, and they will mail them for free. So you go ahead and get your postcards out of the way.
Yeah, really nice folks there.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right, so then day two, you're heading to Denali. How did you get to Denali?
So for Denali, I'll just say that my next best advice would be to get a lot of rest before you get there, because with these tours, you do have to get up quite early. They take care of your luggage for you, but you do have to get up, get it out of your room and out the door. They will pick up your luggage, put it on the coach or wherever you're, however you're traveling, and then you'll find it in your room when you get to your next hotel. But you do have some early mornings. So my best advice, though, is to you're going to get on the train in Anchorage to get to Denali is, even though it's comfortable, it's a beautiful rail car with dome glass ceilings so you can see everything. But don't fall asleep because you will definitely miss out on some beautiful scenery and some animals. I started seeing wildlife almost as soon as we left the train station. I think we saw our first moose within like 20 minutes. Oh, no, sorry. We saw a black bear within the first 20 minutes. And then as the trip went on, we saw two moose along the way. But the rail cars, like I said, they're beautiful. You can take your breakfast and your lunch that day in the dining car. You go in, they divide you up into groups and then you go as groups. And the food was good. Then you also have besides your main tour director, you have a tour guide on the train who knows a lot about the areas you're traveling through. So there's commentary along the way. I do recommend, though, you bring snacks. There are some long days. That was one thing we were advised is you don't always have access to snacks or food maybe when you're used to eating. So to bring some snacks. So that was such good advice. And I did. So you might want to have some snacks on board, but you can also order any types of drinks you want, you know, sodas and alcoholic beverages, cocktails as well.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So how long is that train ride to Denali? It's pretty long, right?
It was a pretty long day. We got to the train station probably around, I want to say 8 a.m. or so. Well, we left around the hotel at 8 a.m. The train probably left around 9 a.m. and we didn't get off the train until about 6 in the evening.
Oh, yeah. That's a long one.
Yeah.
Nice. So what's the accommodations like in Denali?
In Denali, we stayed at the Holland America, their chalet there. And it brings me to my next advice is to bring some good walking shoes because it is spread out. You have the main lobby, but then the hotel, the rooms are among the campus. That campus has several buildings with the rooms. They also have restaurants and like a kind of a courtyard where they do live music. They have fire pits that you can sit around. They have some shops. And it's right along the river, which is beautiful. My room, actually, I could look out the window and see and listen to the river back behind the hotel.
So did you spend enough time in Denali to do that that tundra tour?
We did. So we got two nights there. So that was, I almost wish I would have had one more night, but two nights I would think would be the minimum I'd want because you didn't get there until about 6. You have time to maybe walk around, kind of learn the whole campus there, have some dinner, and then, you know, again, we were up early, so I was kind of in bed pretty early. Next day, we got up, and our tour, I believe, was the 8 a.m. tour. There were some people, though, that some of the groups got up, and their tour was like at 6 in the morning.
Ooh.
I know, yeah. It's really early.
Yeah.
But also, though, they told us the earlier is actually better because you have a better chance of the animals being out.
Mm-hmm.
However, we did see a lot of animals on our tour. The tour is, they put you in buses that are kind of like, they look like a school bus, but they've been converted for the tour. I would say it was comfortable, but not nearly as comfortable as the train ride or your coaches that they used later on the tour. But our tour guides were from the park. They took us around. Our guide was lovely. Her name was Anne. Had great stories to tell us. It was about a 5-hour tour. They do give us each a box they call it a snack, but it really had a lot of food in it. So you do have that with you to if you get hungry. There are a couple of restroom breaks along the tour as well. And we saw sheep. We saw grizzly bear. We saw black bear.
Oh, wow.
Caribou. Along with other little, you know, other little creatures. And then, you know, the big thing is if you get to see Denali or not. And our guide worked so hard to get us to see it. The clouds were sitting kind of low, but she would point it out, you know, even if it was just a partial view of it. Eventually, we did see just about all of it. We didn't see the very tip of the top, but it was...
Yeah, they say only like 30% of people get to see it because of the cloud cover and stuff.
Covered in, yeah.
Yeah. And this is my second time to Denali, and I did see it the first time. And later in the trip, we did get a better view. It was kind of, I guess, serendipitous. But as we were leaving Denali, we had traveled a little ways, and then our tour bus driver like pulled over on the side of the road, and we were like, what's going on? There was a great view. You could see the whole mountain far off in the distance, but we could see the whole thing. And so he's like, I just had to pull over so that you guys could see this.
That's
so
awesome.
They let us off the bus so that we could take pictures. And
I love when they do that. I really know.
They were really, all of our guides and drivers were amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So then from Denali, you head to Fairbanks. Is this on a coach or the train again?
So when you leave Denali, they put you on coach buses, and they're Holland America-owned coaches, and take you start driving us to Fairbanks. Along the way, we were able to stop downtown Fairbanks and have lunch. That was probably about a 3.5-hour drive, so not too bad. When we got to Fairbanks, like I said, they let us do lunch. Then we got back on the buses, and they took us to an included excursion. And we got to go to the Gold Dredge Number 8. And Gold Dredge Number 8 is where there's still a huge dredge machine, I guess that's what they called it, where they dredged for gold. So there we got to learn how to pan for gold. You get on these little train. They take you out to where the panning is. So, of course, each of us get our little bag of gravel.
Dirt.
Yeah. Dirt, gravel. So they have it all set up where they are teaching you how to pan for the gold. And then you get your gold flakes, hopefully, if you do it correctly. I needed a lot of help. But they were really nice, and they were offering help. And then you could take your gold, take your gold flecks, and you bring them inside, and they actually weigh them for you. And I think mine weighed, when they told me that, it was probably worth about $15. So I was like, cool, fun.
Yay.
So then you take it home as a souvenir. Of course, they're selling souvenirs where you can add the gold flakes to your, like, a little charm necklace and tons of souvenirs you can shop for, of course. But you can also tour the dredger because it's still sitting there, and they'll let you walk through it. There's like little video clips that kind of talk to you in more detail about how they use the dredge machines. There was a little movie we got to watch about it as well. Really interesting. I learned so much that I didn't realize I didn't know about gold.
I know, because that's basically how people came to Alaska, or what they, not the native Alaskans, but like the other people came for was gold mining, right?
Yeah.
Most of them.
Yeah. So where did you stay in Anchorage or in Fairbanks? Do you remember?
That's a good question, Sandy.
Were you downtown or were you kind of on the outskirts?
We were... We're kind of on the outskirts. It was not right in downtown.
Like on the river or?
No, but okay. I would say like it was probably walkable to a few things, but I wouldn't say it was in the most picturesque of areas though. Okay. You know, kind of just a regular part of town. Yeah.
And you were there for one night?
Just one night in Fairbanks. So far we spent, you know, with the tour, you would have spent one night in Anchorage, two nights in Denali, and then one night in Fairbanks.
And then I see your best advice here was bring your sleep mask.
Yes. So, definitely. And I will say, I remember that particular hotel, the curtains weren't all the way to the floor. So they covered the windows, they had the blackouts, but the sun was coming like from under the curtains, if that makes sense. Uh-huh. So yeah, I definitely recommend you bring your sleep mask. It was about almost, by the time you get to Fairbanks, it's almost 24 hours of daylight. And I was there in May.
So still early season. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're there in the summer, you won't see any, you know, it'll get maybe, yeah.
Like dust?
Maybe.
Nice. Okay. So how do you get from Fairbanks to Dawson City?
You fly. So my best advice there was to bring your passports because we're headed to Canada. Mm-hmm. We are picked up at the hotel, again, pretty early. And they take your bags. You put them outside your door. They come. They take them, put them on the coach for you. But this time when we got to the airport, we did have to take our bags in because you have to check them. Mm-hmm. And they do tell you ahead of time what you're allowed to bring. We were allowed to bring one checked bag. We weren't really supposed to bring carry-ons, although a few people did. And I think they were like, well, we have room for them. But they really did not want you to bring a carry-on because you're on a pretty small plane.
Wow. That is good to note because I don't know if I could do that.
Exactly. Could you bring my laptop?
Yeah, could you carry a backpack or something?
Yes, yeah. So okay. I had a backpack, but it would
like
fit
a personal
under the
item.
Same. Yeah,
okay.
You could bring a personal item, just not a carry-on bag. Yes, thank you. Yeah.
Okay. You can do that. Yeah.
So we all checked in for our flight, and they say sometimes it can get delayed with these flights, I guess just because of weather. But we were lucky, and it did not have any delays. So we were board. We got on board. And you fly. It's about an hour. And I will, again, won't recommend you sleep to catch up on, you know, because you woke up early, because it was some amazing views from the plane of the mountains. I wish I would have known. Nobody was telling us. There was no guide telling us which, you know, mountains we were seeing, but it was beautiful. About an hour.
How big is this plane? How many people are on it? Was it like everybody on your tour? It's not like a
Everybody on our tour. However, there were like other people, like just from the public on that plane. It wasn't just a charter, just us. But it was probably about the size of, if you're familiar with, say, a small regional plane. Mm-hmm. Trying to think of an example.
So, like, maybe two people on one side and one? Okay, all right.
It was two and two.
Okay, that's not bad.
But it was small. It was a smaller plane. And landed in Dawson City, the Yukon Territory of Canada, to the smallest airport I've ever been to. Well, I take that back. I've been to some pretty small ones, but it was basically like a little trailer out in a parking lot next to the runway.
That's a pretty small airport.
Yeah. And, you know, it's also, you know, the immigration agents were there checking your passports as you came in also. So it was, it was fun. It was tiny. I talked to the flight attendants and they were like, yeah, we turn right around and then we fly. I mean, they were all just regional. I think they were flying to maybe Whitehorse next. So, so then we got back on our coach buses again, and they took us to our hotel in Dawson City. Dawson City is famous. It became famous during the whole Klondike gold rush, and gold was discovered there. And all throughout the course of the tour, we've kind of learned about the gold and how, you know, the the path that people would take. And we kind of were doing the opposite. And so as I go on and tell you where we ended up in Skagway to reach the ship, that's actually where the gold miners were coming into Alaska. So they were coming mm-hmm. from, say, like Seattle, San Francisco. They were sailing up to Skagway and then going to Dawson City. So we were kind of going the opposite direction. But mm-hmm. Dawson City was, I guess, that was the biggest town during that gold rush period. They found gold there in 1896. And a little tiny town of maybe area with, you know, just a couple, maybe a couple hundred people grew mm-hmm. to the size of over 30,000 people within a couple of years.
Wow.
Yeah. Such an interesting town. And this was the second place we got to spend two nights, which was really great because by then you were tired and it was nice to catch up a little bit on sleep because mm-hmm. the next morning you did not have to get up early and get your bags out the door. Could sleep in. So
is it still like 30,000 people or was that during the peak time?
That was during the peak time. And that peak time really only lasted about like 5 years at the most before people moved on to somewhere, you know, gold was discovered right. somewhere else and those people were moving on. But, you know, you mentioned earlier that the gold is what people came to Alaska for. Well, Dawson City was kind of built on that. You know, they found mm-hmm. gold. People swooped in to stake their claims and it, you know, took a while for people to get there. You know, once the gold yeah. was, once people back in the lower 48 heard about it, you know, mm-hmm. Took them a while to get there.
That's some rugged territory. That's harsh. Yeah.
It was really yeah. rugged. In fact, yeah. they told us the whole story of how, you know, the first people to get there, so many of them didn't make it, the, mm-hmm. you know, conditions were harsh. So then the Canadian authorities were telling people that you couldn't enter. They wouldn't let you enter unless you had 2,000 pounds of what do you call it? Sorry.
Like supplies?
Supplies, or, yeah.
Yeah.
You have to have the supplies with you. So they would have people in Skagway, of course, selling everything that they needed, all the supplies, all the outfits. You had to carry like so many pounds of bacon, so many pounds of flour. You mm-hmm. had to have certain tools. So these guys, you know, they would hike through these passes, not just once, but several times, having to carry like 50 pounds at a time on their backs.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you just flew in.
Yeah. I just got there.
Just got there the easy way.
So I would say you're going to, I mean, be fascinated by the beauty, but just fascinated by the stories. And our guide was so good, told us so many stories and history, and you just learned so much. It was incredible. So, but Bryson City is a quirky town. It looks like you stepped into the Old West, you know, 1800s. They still have boardwalks. They don't have sidewalks. The streets are kind of, some are dirt streets, you know, they're not paved. And so you're not allowed to build anything in Dawson City that doesn't kind of match the aesthetics of the town. Mm-hmm. So you're walking back into history. And as Donna said too, you know, all the people that came were for the gold, but it was also the people who came to cater to the miners. So they called it the Paris of the North because it became a city of like fancy stores popped up because these people had gold. So you had mm-hmm. Women wearing, you know, the latest Paris fashions, and you had wow. Fancy stores selling, you know, just anything that the people might need. So, mm-hmm. you know, you had the people that came along to cater to them as well. So not necessarily mining themselves, but starting businesses. So there are a lot of buildings in the town, of a theater that they would do concerts and plays. So I guess it became just an important town in the area.
Sounds like stepping back in time.
It really is. It was kind of a cross between, it almost felt like you're on the set of a movie, if you know. Like you said, it's very quirky. They'll tell you the story of the Sour Toe Cocktail. So Sour Toe Cocktail, there's a bar that serves it, and you can become a member of the Sour Toe Club. And they tell us a story about the 1970s. I guess this bar decided they had this, it's a mummified human toe, and they put it, they put the mummified human toe in your shot of whiskey. And so then you drink, you have to drink it with the toe in there, but without swallowing the toe. Like you can't. And they told us the whole story about how there was this one guy who did. He took the toe, swallowed it on purpose. And so then they told people, if you swallow the toe, you'll be fined like $500.
Do they just have like a stockpile of toes?
Well, that's what we were asking. We're like, where do they get more toes? Because we were told they're like on their 13th toe.
Oh, God. Did you touch it? Did you?
I did not. Some people on our tour did, though. We did watch a gentleman have the Sour Toe Cocktail. And their slogan was, you know, you can drink it fast, you can drink it slow, as long as your lips must touch that gnarly toe.
Oh, God. So everybody's lips are touching this toe. There's like so many things wrong with that.
Well, you know, the alcohol kill all the germs. So. Well,
that's right.
And then you don't even care because you're drinking the alcohol. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. So after Dawson City, you go to Whitehorse. How do you get to Whitehorse?
So from Dawson City to Whitehorse is, it's all on coach and it's all day. So, beautiful scenery again, but my best advice for that day was to just enjoy the company. So hopefully you brought some people along that you enjoy, or you have a good book to download or read, or a movie to watch. It is a long ride. They do break several times, though, to let us go to the restroom. They included a stop for lunch, which was included. But it's basically just it is a long drive. They did break it up. Also, we were lucky enough to have a gentleman on our tour who had actually summited both Denali and Mount Everest. So they spent some time kind of set it up like an interview, and our tour guide interviewed him, and he was fascinating to listen to. He told us all kinds of interesting things and facts and just how the whole process of climbing a mountain works. So
he was just a guest, though, right?
That's he was. He was just a guest.
That's really interesting. That's cool.
It was interesting. Nice. When we got there, again, you get there about the time for dinner, so I didn't really have a lot of time to look around. I wish we would have. I think some of the tours might spend a little more time there. But for our tour, we basically walked a little bit around downtown, had our dinner, and then it was, you know, pretty much back to the hotel, get a good night's sleep.
So your dinner was not included, is that right?
It wasn't.
Okay. Were there a lot of good choices in town?
There were. And I'll say our guide was so amazing and provided us with a sheet every day with some recommended restaurants. And she was very good about making sure we you know, she'd point them out to us, know where they were, and gave us several choices. Of course, you didn't have to take those choices. Most of the hotels also had a restaurant as well if you wanted to just eat at the hotel.
Yeah, and I know Holland America offers like a food plan you can purchase extra for the land portion too.
They do. But I will say nobody in my tour had taken advantage of it, so I can't really speak because we asked around. I was asking around, but nobody had taken advantage of it. So
okay. And then next day, you are heading to Skagway.
Yes, we're going
to.
Yes, we're going to meet the ship, and I am. It was a shorter drive. We woke up. It was about. I think that was about a 3-hour drive, maybe from Whitehorse to Skagway. Maybe a 3.5-hour drive, and it was the most amazing part of the drive because we were going through the White Pass, and this is the pass that the miners had to take to get over the mountain so then they could try to get to the Yukon Territory. And just every turn was, you know, more beautiful than the next. And we made our way down into Skagway where the ship was in port so that we could meet it. And there was an included excursion, and it was riding on the White Pass summit, the train. It's a tourist train. Mm-hmm. The train was there originally to get supplies back and forth, but now it's purely just a tourist train. But because it was going back through the White Pass, but the opposite way that we had just come, mm-hmm. at first we were like, you know, we're so tired. We might just get on the ship and stay on the ship for a while, just rest. But I would encourage people not. Even though you're going through the pass, you're going a little bit different way. You're going over bridges, through tunnels. Again, just amazing, beautiful scenery. Snow. We still saw a lot of snow on the ground. And so it's kind of a round trip. So you don't have to worry about which side of the train you're on because you're going to go there, you're going to turn around and come back. So you're going to see both sides. Nice.
That's the popular thing to do when you're
It really is. Yeah. And I say, even if you're not on this tour and your ship stops in Skagway, I highly recommend it.
Yeah. All right, so you're on the ship now. This is a short cruise,
yes,
right?
Yes, and so you just have 4 nights on the cruise, you're kind of if you've cruised before, you feel a little like out of place because you're like, oh, this is weird because you're used to getting on a ship at a port with everybody,
right?
But it's just our small little group, and we had to all go on together, show our passports. They ushered us onto the ship and directly to a public area where they had to do the
Your muster drill.
Had to do the muster drill just for us. They gave us some announcements and some information, so it was just strange, you know. You I think if it was your first cruise, you'd be a little bit like, well, this is different. You wouldn't, because you wouldn't know if it was different. If you did your second cruise, you'd be like, I don't remember any of this.
Yeah. I bet it's a lot easier to get on, though.
Pretty easy. Yeah. And so then once on board, you know, the rest of the time, it was kind of nice to relax. We did a couple more ports and just enjoyed cruising through the Glacier National Park, which Holland America does so well, bringing on the park rangers. And they do their orange party, which is a lot of fun. We didn't miss that. So we, you know, bring your orange and go to the party and dance and have a good time.
We should probably say that they do an orange party because of the colors of the Netherlands, which is where obviously Holland America is based. But So
yeah,
that's cool.
My best advice for the Glacier National Park, or just any time you're on the ship, is if you're looking for whales, which we saw eagles, sea otters. I saw both humpback and orca, and is to go to the public areas with your binoculars for your viewing. You know, it's great to have your own balcony, but when you're in the viewing areas with the rest of the people, you've got, you know, 50 sets of eyes on the water mm-hmm. instead of just yours. So you're definitely going to see something, because people call out like, over there, over here, look there. year. So
that's awesome. Yeah. I love how when they do Glacier Bay, I love the park ranger talks, and they usually bring on a native Alaskan too and do a talk with that. And if you're, if you are in your cabin and you're just looking at your balcony, you can turn on the TV for the, like the channel that looks out at the bow of the ship, and you'll get those announcements too. Like if they spot something, so you have a chance. But did you go out on the bow of the ship when they, cause they open up the front if the weather's good enough?
We did, especially, yes, when we got to the glacier, especially. I went out a couple of times, but yeah, we went out there, could see the glacier. It's beautiful. And I will say with the rangers too, they do children's programs. So if you are with your family, you brought your kids, your grandchildren, I highly recommend you, you know, take them to the programs with the rangers as well.
And it is a national park. So if you collect national parks, you can get a stamp in your national park passport.
You sure can.
That. Yeah.
Very cool. And so, yeah, I just say, and you know, it's summing things up. I would just say Holland America did an excellent job. Our tour guide was fantastic. She was amazing. But to, you know that there are some things that aren't included in the price you pay for the tour, like, mm-hmm. meals on land, you know, most of them are not included. So make sure you budget for breakfast, lunch, dinner. The gratuities are not included. So you'll want to budget to make sure you, you know, have a little bit to give those drivers and the tour guides, because they work so hard. Especially the, you know, the person who stayed with us those 7 days, I don't know when she slept. I don't think she did for 7 days. So
I don't think any of those tour guides that do those kind of tours do.
You didn't have any children on your land portion, did you?
We had one, which is interesting. It was actually the gentleman who had climbed the mountains. They had their 7-year-old daughter with them. So not a lot of kids on the land, but she was delightful. She looked like she was having a great time.
I think Holland America in general, the children that I see on there are like well-traveled. They're comfortable around adults.
She was an only child, and she was there with her mom and dad, and then it was her grandmother and grandfather.
That's awesome. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. This is on my list. We'll go back.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely do it again. Even, you know, I would, I think I would pick a tour. If you've not been to the Yukon, definitely go. If you've, you know, done the Yukon, but you want to go back to Alaska, you know, I would probably go back and do one that does the 3 nights in Denali. I think there's one tour that does 3 nights.
Yeah, because you can do like whitewater rafting in Denali. They have sled dogs in Denali that are actually working dogs that run through the park. So there's cool stuff to see there.
And I did do, I didn't mention it, but I did do a sled dog excursion when we were in the night we were in Denali, like after the tour, went back to the lodge, but then that evening. But yeah, there's so much to do there. I would have loved to have gone back just into the park on my own and maybe done a little hiking or something like that. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah. All right, we have to go back. That's all there is to it.
Definitely, you know, I would definitely recommend add the land if you're going to do the cruise.
Yeah. Well, Alaska has so much to offer. So
it's so big. Yeah, there's so much there. All right, well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. And Stacy, thank you so much for coming back on and telling us about your awesome trip.
You're welcome.
So cool. All right. On behalf of Donna, George, and myself, Sandy, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.